On a Tuesday afternoon, it's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. And we're joined by Eric Meehan, as always. Hello there, Eric.
Hey, Rich, Carrie, how are we doing today?
Oh, outstanding, sir. How about you?
I'm well. I was actually considering, I'll just do this entire section like your first guest, except of, instead of having interesting people that I would hang out with and talk about, you know, going to so-and-so's house with so-and-so and so-and-so and just sitting down and, you know, tickling the ivories and coming up with a new band based on numbers of famous old bands. I have no stories like that, but I think if I just tell stories of me going to parties with friends and pretending like people should know who they are, I think that's the key. Like, yeah, I went, what do you do? Oh, he worked at the Walmart. it doesn't quite have the ring of the Bengals, but
it's in the presentation. It's in the telling of the story.
It's great. It's great. I look forward to interview two tomorrow about Lost in Space, because I'll be honest, having watched reruns of that, I'm 42. I'm not quite old enough to remember the original, except in reruns. His relationship with the doctor always kind of creeped me out. That was weird. So be sure to ask him about that.
Oh yeah, well they were pretty close. He was his mentor, and he told us about how Jonathan Harris even changed the character to save his job, because he was kind of a mean villain that was likely going to be gone early on.
Right.
And he lightened it up a little bit and ended up hanging around for 4 years.
It was always odd and creepy. Anyway, that's all I remember. and now having my kids, I've been watching Star Trek, you know, on my lunch break, as it were, that I allow myself to put on the tube, and they're watching Star Trek with me. And I think they're probably having the same sort of reactions to some of the old sci-fi that I used to watch. It's like, geez, Dad, I understand this is relevant, but is it? Oh, I don't know. It's humbling. It's, you know, if there's nothing else about being a father, it's very, very humbling.
Dad, who's the guy in the red shirt? Don't worry. You won't need to know him.
Oh, you know, so the other day we were watching, and all of a sudden this guy, now I happen to be friends with several people who are essentially extras out in Hollywood, like professional extras. And so they do these bits. And so every now and then I'll see sort of someone who just doesn't fit with the pattern. And you wonder like who that extra knew to get that gig that day. There was this red shirt, but he was gray haired.
Wow.
He was old and he just wandered by. He was just in the hallway and wandered by and the main characters. And all of a sudden you're like, what did you miss? Were you that stupid an ensign that you literally wouldn't even get put on the death march? you made it to gray hair status as a red shirt. Like, that's just...
Well played.
Stunning. So there you go. I hope everybody's well. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Iberian Peninsula, specifically Spain. We'll get to Portugal next week. It's funny, actually, in these very sort of sweltery days, I'm often thinking of my friend Chris, who brought me over to Spain to see a lot of these wonderful regions, and my misconception that when I got to Spain, it would be ungodly hot. And in retrospect, the several times now that I've been to Spain, that's never been the case. And so I'll use this opportunity to remind people that Spain, though sort of, you know, thrust down into the middle of the Mediterranean / Atlantic, so close to the tip of Africa, they could almost kiss. It's not a warm country, and by and large, it's as we talked about either last week, and we've talked about many times, it's very, very elevated. The country is overall, in terms of elevation, quite high. A lot of wind-swept areas, and you know, people here in Maine can identify with that. And so it's weird, on these sort of warm, sweltery days, people think, this must be what it's like to be in Spain, and that's why Spanish wines make so much sense. And it's funny to me, because I always think, I think you'd be very surprised. I mean, of course, you know, any place has warm, sweltery days, provided you're not in the Arctic, I suppose, but that's coming soon. But, you know, it is not a country that meets expectations, I think, for people, and so it just reminds me that a lot of people have been, you know, thinking, oh, well, a good Spanish wine sort of makes sense in these warm days. And I'm like, oh, I mean, it makes sense at all times because Spain makes fabulous wine. But just something to sort of keep in mind for folks. So today, last week, we talked about what I call the Tempranillo Belt, the Frenchianization of Spain. And we talked about Catalonia, where they make cava and some other things. So this is the day I kind of wrap up Spain and talk about the other important Spanish grapes and regions and things like that. I'll also remind people that, a lot of the grape names are probably very familiar. Franco, who was the dictator in Spain, basically shut down the Iberian Peninsula until the mid-70s, until 1975. So there are still, very much like Portugal, but even, you know, less so because Spain is a little bit more continental, I suppose, has a lot of grape varieties that people don't necessarily know. First one I want to talk about that is great for a sweltery day like this, absolutely great. We have a very, very nice one on the shop. In fact, we have two very nice ones. Is Chacolí. So we talked last week in the Tempranillo country bit about how French folks came down one of the two ways into the Iberian Peninsula, this way through basically the city of San Sebastian and that area that's called the Basque region, full of people that probably identify really neither as French nor Spanish, but Basque. Chacolí is made out of the Hondarabi grape. There's a couple clones of that, but basically, it's a very, very acidic, sharp, zesty wine that is absolutely fabulous. I'm seeing a lot of posts of people, you know, eating shellfish, scallops, things like that, things with just a little, you know, lemony, citrusy zest. This wine, and you can do ceviche, you know, and things like that with this sort of wine. It's absolutely fabulous. So, Chacolí. Now, bear in mind, it's spelled T. Xacolina, Chacolina, or the singer Chacolí, which ends with the I. It's Basque, right? So it does. If you don't know how to pronounce it, that's okay. The only reason I knew how to pronounce it is because literally my first real week in this business, I had a Chacolí, and it was on purpose. My manager Ted was like, "Listen, you're going to need to sort of learn some extreme wine styles so that you have frames of reference." And I remember trying this, and believe me, if you have the enamel missing from any parts of your teeth, you will know it. But that's not a great selling point, but it's a fabulous wine that's very unique. Also, the great Mencia, you're going to start to see a little bit more because it's now being championed by people who are better known importers into the U.S. So Mencia, you find in regions like Bierzo, Ribera Sacra. Mencia is kind of intriguing because it's like it's medium-bodied and fruity, but it has like sort of spicy, interesting notes as well. So it's like a lot of grapes that you know, but it just has a little bit more sort of cerebral quality, which is maybe why it hasn't caught on. The more bombastic versions are not my style, but that's what it is. Albariño is a wine that people do now know, but is one that I can't recommend enough, especially, again, for Mainers. This is from the Galician coast, Rías Baixas. Rías Baixas, I always mispronounce that. Spain is not just full of grapes that we don't know, but also names that are literally impossible to pronounce, even for someone who's done it for years. The Albariño grape is really cool. So the Galician coast has, like, basically fjords. We know fjords from, obviously, Norseland, but down in Galicia, they're very much the same. And fog rolls in and rolls out and moderates the growing of this Albariño grape, which grows on the slopes of these appendages, land appendages that go into the sea. It's kind of honeyed. It's got nice acidity. And there's several different interpretations of this grape, depending on whether you like it a little bit more zesty or a little bit more honeyed and rich. But it's absolutely fantastic. So Albariño, do check that out. And they also make versions of it in Portugal called Alvarinho, almost the same, but obviously using a different language because that's what they do there. And may I get a time check? I don't want to battle on.
About 2 minutes left to go here.
Very good. The other thing, before I sort of sum up, the value belt, things like this, there's lots of things that are coming from Spain that Americans love, that are coming from regions that we have not touched on. So do, you know, next time you're in the store, just say, hey, what interesting things do you have from Spain that may be from regions that I haven't tried? Jumilla and things in the southeast, which have Monastrell, which is also known as Morved or Mataro, which is a grape that Americans tend to love. So explore Spain. There's a lot of things to explore. I'll sum up by repeating what I heard Summer say, which is that people are being great. Please continue to be great to your friendly neighborhood retailers. Bangor Wine still obviously requiring masks, still doing curbside, and I guess all I can say is people have been absolutely fabulous, and I just can't thank you enough. There is, you know, for every dissenter you hear, there is a reason why Maine is doing well, even with folks from out of state coming in. The out-of-staters are doing just as well as we here in Maine. So continued thanks to everyone for being so great. Wash your hands and stay groovy, and we'll see you in the store. And I'll talk to you all next week about Portugal.
That's a good plan indeed. Thanks, Eric. Have a good week. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, gentlemen. Be well. Bye-bye.
Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Message in the bottle every Tuesday afternoon on the program.